Heads up, folks. Interest rates are falling. But as of September 23rd, 2024, you can still lock in a 6% or higher yield with a bond account at public.com. That's a pretty big deal, because when rates drop, so can the interest you earn on your cash. A bond account allows you to lock in a 6% or higher yield with a diversified portfolio of high yield and investment grade corporate bonds. So while other people are watching their returns shrink, you can sit back with regular interest payments. But you might want to act fast, because your yield is not locked in until you invest. The good news? It only takes a couple of minutes to sign up at public.com. Lock in a 6% or higher yield with a bond account, only at public.com. Brought to you by Public Investing, member FINRA and SIPC. Yield to worst is not guaranteed. Not an investment recommendation. All investing involves risk. Visit public.com/disclosures for more info.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico. How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
If you're a maintenance supervisor for a commercial property, you've had to deal with everything from leaky faucets to flickering light bulbs. But nothing's worse than that ancient boiler that's lived in the building since the day it was built, 50 years ago. It's enough to make anyone lose their cool. That's where Grainger comes in. With industrial-grade products and dependable fast delivery, Grainger can help with any challenge, from worn-out components to everyday necessities. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It is absolutely incredible to be with you guys today in what is the 1,267th show of the 49ers Rush Podcast. And today I wanted to, let's see here, how do I propose this? I want to step back. things have been rough. I ain't going to lie. R-U-F-F for the 49ers and for, I'll be honest, home life a little bit difficult right now. The homeschooling venture, yeah, it's what it is. Not ideal, in the words of Eric Crocker. Shout out to Crocker. So I wanted to do, and I need y'all's help, especially the live audience. I wanted to focus on some positives. Things are bleak right now. We spent, you know, four shows going over issues with the defense and special teams, offense, whatever. The film breakdowns, all those are up on the 49ersrush.com. Those are there. I wanted to spend a show, as much of a show as possible, as much as y'all will let me, being positive. Let's focus on the things that are going well. Yeah, you're 5-5. You're 500. I understand that. You're not where you want to be. Things haven't gone the way you want to be. Injuries are stockpiling, and it seems like it's getting worse and worse. But that doesn't mean it's all bad. It doesn't mean it's all bad. So I was sitting there just thinking, like, man, what are some things that we can focus on? And I was like, man, let's have a conversation where we talk about who the offensive MVP is, the defensive MVP. Now, obviously, you don't give out awards like this or whatever else, but there's been so many positives that have come across that perhaps we weren't expecting this year. And so I kind of want to channel this in two separate conversations. We'll talk about the Brock Purdy injury. We'll talk about what that looks like towards the end of the show, whatever else. I want to start positive. I want to see if we can stay positive as long as possible. Let's see how it goes. What's up, Vince? Darren, my man, hashtag CC. Miss you, brother. I hope all is well. Vince, the NFL season moves pretty fast. If you don't stop and look around once in a while, you can miss it. Breathe. I like the Ferris Bueller twist there. Love it, love it, love it. Appreciate all the hashtag CCs. What's up, guys? Appreciate everybody coming through. And, man, Steven, you the freaking man. Hey, Val, appreciate all the stuff you're putting out there. And got to say thanks to our executive producers, Corey Robbins, 49ers George 365, Kilton Niner, David G. You guys are the best of the best. Without you guys, the show doesn't happen. That's just what it is. Oh, Roy, come on. Here we go. Darren, I'm focusing on positive. So you got negative stuff in the chat today. Man, we're going to highlight those a lot of times. Today, come on, let's give the people what they need. Perhaps not what they want, right? We want blame. We want anger. That's what we want. Today's show, there's so many shows out there that are negative, and I understand. This is going to do the worst numbers I've ever done in my life. Anytime I do something positive, it usually doesn't do well, but that's not why we're here. We're here because we're 49ers fans. I'm a fan, right? I'm not a beat reporter. I'm not an insider. I'm not objective. I am a fan. So let's be fans. And let's try to focus one show out of, I do 14 shows a week. If you count Patreon, the 49ers rush of this, I do 14 shows a week. Let's give one show. Let's give one, guys. Darren, one positive, we are not as bad as the Dallas Cowboys. Not even close. They are terrible. They're so bad. You've got players calling out coaches. You've got, I mean, they're done. And it's going to be bad for a while. Yeah, it's going to be for a while. Right here, Hugo, positive. Kittle, best tight end of the year. Maybe behind Bowers for his last game miss. Bowers is a stud, but I don't think that he's anywhere close to what Kittle does in the run game. You know, again, you know, the whole Kelce-Kittle conversation, that's been played out. You want to talk playoffs, I understand that. That's kind of where Kelce dominates, but Kittle can do what Kelce does. Kittle can do what Bowers does. Bowers, Kelce can't do what Kittle does. And those are studs. Kelce going to the Hall of Fame, no doubt about it. But, yeah, George Kittle. And he's going to be in our conversation. Vince, Pooney is a stalwart. I love the term. Possibilities with him in the future are interesting. Well, you keep him there. Now, do you move him to tackle? Probably not. When you have a stud that is playing Pro Bowl level, I don't think he's playing all pro level, but Pro Bowl level, man, you just let that kid develop. And another thing, too, he's surrounded by two not very good players. That's the nicest I could be about Jake Brindle and Colton McKivitz. Colton McKivitz way better than Jake Brindle, but, like, you know, we've seen when Aaron Banks is not playing next to Trent Williams, Aaron Banks is really bad. But, man, we haven't seen Dominique Pooney play next to anybody that's a quality NFL starter yet. We haven't seen it. And he's still being awesome. He's still being awesome. Man, I love this. You guys got positive takes. Let's put them out there. That's what today's show's for. Kevin, appreciate you. Positive, our rookie class. Woo! Freaking red smoking hot, man. You talk about the 49ers rookie class. We cannot highlight this enough. Now, I understand being frustrated, myself included, with the positions that you targeted. Absolutely the love or the whatever addiction of just drafting wide receivers, spending on wide receivers nonstop will always be a thorn in my side. You build from the inside out. 49ers have gone away from that. But Ricky Pearsall, he has not lived up to the first round status, but he's had some crazy contextual situations that have, you know, limited that, but he looks the part. There's no doubt. So there's a lot of hope. There's a lot of excitement. There's a lot of anticipation with Pearsall. I hope we trust him more. He was part of the game plan 2 weeks ago. Vital. Last week, they kind of removed him. He still had some mistakes. He's a rookie. But I want Ricky Pearsall out there. I do. I want more Pearsall. We need more Pearsall. I've got a fever. The only prescription is more Pearsall. That's the best Christopher Walken I could do. Sorry, impression's not my jam. Renardo Green, stud. Dominique Pooney, unbelievable. He's going to be involved in our MVP discussion. Perhaps Renardo Green should have been as well. He's been unbelievable. Malik Mustafa, stud. By far our best safety that can dress currently. You know, we didn't know how soon Malik would be out there. at safety, he's the best safety we have. You know, when Hufanga comes back, it'd be Hufanga. But it's like Hufanga, gap, Malik, giant gap. Jair Brown's getting worse and worse game by game. But shout out to Malik Mustafa. Garendo, yeah, small flashes. Hey, he played two snaps, one great snap, perfect blitz pickup, one bad snap, tripped Aaron Banks and released it on a route. Jacob Cowing, explosiveness there. He's just got to get the rookie stuff out of his head. Kingston cut, Tatum Bethune. He could stop the run. Might be the worst special teams player we have, which is saying a lot. And not again, there's a path for him to play, but man, he's so far down. He's so far down on that totem pole. But man, yes, wonderful set. Awesome. Let's see here. Sonia, my brother had the nerve to try to compare his team, the Cowboys, against the Niners. Get out of here. It's not a conversation. No, it's not. Cowboys need to go have a conversation with Florida State fans. That's their competition, especially this year. Happy vibes. Appreciate you, Val. Right here, Dave, young guys getting some run this year bodes well for the future. Developing young talent. That's huge. Niners haven't been good at that. Let's just be very honest. Oh, what's up, Jaredog? Appreciate you, man. He says, hashtag CC, faithful in Kentucky, avid listener, but rare live attendee. Appreciate you, man. Now, I got some beef with Kentucky this week. Hook 'em horns, baby. But outside of that, Jaredog, you're the man. Appreciate you. Right here, Aaron, positive. Diamador Lenore, Bernardo Green. We have our corners for at least the next, this year included, 4 years. That's it. We just signed Demo to a 5-year extension. Renardo Green showed he could play right off the bat. Oof. We haven't had good corners. Sonia, do you think Trent is playing next season? I certainly do. Main reason why, not that Trent needs it, but if you look at the contract, I think a lot of, you know, if he plays next year, 2025, his roster bonus is $750,000 a game. Now, I am not a smart man, so let me open up my calculator here. Let's do this. 750, three zeros, times 17, boom. That's $12.75 million. That's a lot of reasons to play. If he's just active, that is what he gets. Now, it's the same way in 2026, and that's kind of how they built this out. He said he wanted to play till he is 40. Now, there's three void years. Yikes. But those options built into it, I fully expect Trent to play next year. That's dangerous territory. But I do not think – I think the only way that Trent doesn't play next year is if we win the Super Bowl and he rides off into the sunset. I'm fine with that. Like, if that's what it would take for Trent to retire, not that, like, we're trying to push him towards retirement, but the only way in which I could look at this and be like, ooh, Trent, man, win the Super Bowl right off into the sunset. Now, it's a very far-fetched situation with the 5-5 team, but you get into the dance, you see what happens, we go from there. Alta, appreciate you. Love the show. There we go. Val says Kittle is a cool player, positive 100%. Oh, here we go. Optimistic positivity. Thank you, Steven. He says, if the season is not successful, we draft higher, possibly building a stronger team next year. Yeah, it's always this, what are we doing? And I remember, you know, I've been doing this show since 2017. I remember doing mock drafts in October. I haven't done one yet. Now, the way this weekend goes, perhaps, I don't know. But yeah, I remember focusing on the future in October. Here we are at the end of November. Oh, yeah. You want to win it. You want to win it all. You want to win it all the time. It's very simple. But there is a little bit of a silver lining. Now, next week is going to be bananas. Obviously Thanksgiving, all those things, but we got to have our Jerry Rice tier Zoom hangout meeting. We do it once a month. I'm so pumped about this. We're going to do it Tuesday, November 26th at 5:30 PM. Okay. So that's going to be the Tuesday at 5:30 before Thanksgiving, all that fun stuff. So come join us. This is the time to hear from you. We'll see what happens, because the way this rest of the season goes, it's kind of dependent upon this game against the Packers. So come join us. If you haven't signed up yet over at the 49ersrush.com, that's how I feed the family, our Patreon page. Go sign up. We got a 7-day free trial. Check it out. Join us for the Zoom. You join us. Watch all the video breakdowns, all that stuff. If you don't like it, you can cancel free of charge. Won't cost you a penny. But if you do like it, stick around. Again, that's how Little Chapman eats. So the show and all the advertisers, that helps considerably, but it is all built on subscription providing, you know, it comes out to like, I think 30 cents per show that we do over there. But that's where it is. That's where it is. Carlos, speaking of positive, one of my best dudes ever, man. Appreciate you, Carlos. Hey, John, be a positive. We have a chance to come back on the season. Let's see if the Niners show some character. Man, the hurdles that have been put in place, the players being shot, offensive player of the year, missing the first half of the season. Now your quarterback's hurt, injuries all across the board. One of the best defensive players in the league, not playing, practicing, although like there's a lot there, but you get no pity. You get none. The NFL is brutal. The NFL season is long. It's a marathon, not a sprint. Did we want to be at 5-5? We did not. But you are here. What you do moving forward shows who you are. You know, whenever I coached, probably my best speech, I'm not going to do the whole thing now, but, you know, where I coached was, you know, a pretty economically disadvantaged area and a lot of single parent, you know, homes and apartments. And so, like, it was a constant, you know, you coaching all these boys, turning into men. Again, you know, South Dallas football. The thing was, it was constant. Look, at some point in our life, we've all had people leave us, right? We've had people let us down. When we needed them, they didn't show up. So the question that I turn to you as your coach, are you going to be that guy? Are you going to be the guy that whenever things get tough and things aren't right and your brothers are down, you turn and you walk away? You turn on your own people? Is that who you are? Or are you the one that answers the call? Are you the one that shows up when you don't want to show up? Are you the one that will deliver when other people aren't doing their job? That's who we got to be. That's where this team is now. The age-old adage, football reveals character. And that's a big reason why I coached. You know, I didn't have positive male influences in my life growing up very often. My coaches were the people I looked up to. They were the ones that, like, literally got me out of a lot of bad situations. It turned my life in a positive way. And so, like, I remember, you know, the wife and I were married for a few years. I was running a real estate company in grad school. I hated it. It was terrible. I was making good money, but I just hated Tuesdays. I hated them. And my wife did, like, the, you know, oh, if you could do anything, what would you do? She's so supportive. She's amazing. Shout out to the wife. And I was like, dude, I coach high school ball. Like, that's what I would do. And I was grad school studying economic thought and poli sci and whatever else. And I was like, man, I just want to be around teenagers and help teenagers and coach football. That's what I would do. And so I walked away from a lot of money. And man, I haven't been happier since. Now I had to give up coaching for the, you know, foster adoptive parent and all that stuff. But that was such a huge impact on my life. And to be able to give back, you know, for 15, 16 years, that was awesome. So, you know, it's a different message, you know, for Kyle Shanahan talking to these millionaire people, grown-ass adults. But sometimes football is football. All of these people that are on the 49ers team have been in situations like this. They have been on high school teams, middle school teams, college teams that couldn't win at all. How do you respond? Do you love football? Do you love this team? Well, freaking show it. It's time. And I know Kyle's not the rah-rah guy. That's not who he is. Kyle's the fix-it-on-film guy. He's the fix-it-on-the-board guy. But man, show some damn character. Thank you, Carlos. Yes, let's go. Ah.
Thank you, No, the Casio G-Shock. Thanks to its legendary toughness and timekeeping autonomy, it's no secret why the mighty G-Shock has earned its place on the wrist of weekend warriors, first responders, and militaries all over the world. But there's levels to this stuff. And there's a little-known collection of top-shelf G-Shock watches made for folks who crave the very best for everything in life. It's called the MRG. This flagship line of G-Shock watches takes the most cutting edge of tech G-Shock has to offer and blends it with the highest levels of traditional Japanese craftsmanship. We're talking about hybrid titanium and Kobarian case construction with artisanal armor-like flourishes, all honed like the edges of a samurai sword. Every beloved reference in the G-Shock collection gets coveted MRG treatment. From the original square case digital reference from 1983 to the beloved analog Frogman dive watch, all the way up to the newest fan favorite, the MRG B2100, with its octagonal bezel and its wild interlocking beams dial. Discover the full range this holiday season at Topper Jewelers. And while supplies last, mention this ad in 49ers Rush to receive a special gift with your next G-Shock order.
Listen up, folks. Time could be running out to lock in a historic yield at Public.com. As of September 23rd, 2024, you can lock in a 6% or higher yield with a bond account. But here's the thing. The Federal Reserve just announced a big rate cut, and the plan is for more rate cuts this year and in 2025 as well. That's good news if you're looking to buy a home, but it might not be so good for the interest you earn on your cash. So, if you want to lock in a 6% or higher yield with a diversified portfolio of high yield and investment-grade bonds, you might want to act fast. The good news? It only takes a couple of minutes to sign up at public.com. And once you lock in your yield, you can earn regular interest payments even as rates decline. Lock in a 6% or higher yield with a bond account at public.com. But hurry, your yield is not locked in until you invest. Brought to you by Public Investing, member FINRA and SIPC. Yield to worst is not guaranteed. Not an investment recommendation. All investing involves risk. Visit public.com/disclosures for more info.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico. How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Right here is BA attending the games, asked Jared. I don't know. Usually they're up in a box or something, or he's on the sidelines, but I don't know. I'm not looking for I spent too much time this offseason doing BA watch. I'm done with watching anything that guy does until he produces on the field. The injury is not his fault, but I'm not spending any more energy, effort, time, calories, anything to do with that guy until he's producing in a positive manner and supporting the team, right? Go back to character. Now's not the time for that. We got to wait, and I hope he heals 100% and we get back the BA that we knew and loved and not the BA that we saw this year. That's just me. I hope he gets healthy. I really, really do. Newt, look at this. If Brock Purdy can't go, is it crazy to want to see some Tanner Mordecai? It is. But Mordecai's fun, man. He's a fun player. Let's talk some Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy's still practicing, not practicing. They got an MRI. That's not good news. That means the recovery is not going like you thought. Brock Purdy's out of practice yesterday, starts throwing, goes back in to the training room before practice starts. Yeah, what happened after that, we don't know. It's not good. It's bad. It's a throwing shoulder. The play that he got hit, it was his fault. He had three open wide receivers and a wide open check down. At least the play I think that he got hurt. The biggest hit that he took through his throwing shoulder. I went back through every single quarterback hit I could find. I put it on Twitter. Man, he had Ricky Pearsall, corner route, open for a possible touchdown. He had Debo on a check down to the right side. Had Christian McCaffrey. It was second and 12. It was second and 12. No, it was second and 22. Sorry, my bad. That was after one of the Banks or Brindle penalties. Wide open check down to CMC. Looks at him, scrambles, gets hit by three dudes. Didn't even get to the point where the check down to CMC would have started. But it sucks. A lot of it has to do with the Brock Purdy holding the ball too long, not ripping it, not staying with the system. He kind of got out of that practice when CMC was out and whenever all the wide receivers were out. So it's problematic. Now, I'll tell you this, and I know this isn't what you want to hear. Brandon Allen, the right BA, is going to be the quarterback if Brock can't go. It's just what it is. I know everybody wants Josh Dobbs because you watched the preseason games and Josh Dobbs balled out on busted plays. That's what Josh Dobbs does, right? Kyle Shanahan loves Brandon Allen because he runs the system. He's been in the team for 2 years. Before he was on this team, he was at a similar system up in Cincinnati. He knows the system, the ins and outs. He knows the checkdowns. He knows the plays. He knows all those things. Everybody wants Josh Dobbs. I understand that. But the thing that most people didn't see was training camp. Josh Dobbs was awful, like cuttable. That's how bad he was at training camp. Now, we're far away from that. Brandon Allen was great, sustainable, better than Brock Purdy at times. He runs the system. Now, if I knew, like I know what Kyle's going to do. It's going to be Brandon Allen. He's going to get all the one reps whenever Purdy's out. But if I knew Joshua Dobbs could get a full week of practice with the ones, I would prefer Josh Dobbs as well. But man, I do like me some Tanner Mordecai. Yeah, right here, Steve-O. Mordecai been on practice squad all year. It probably won't even get elevated. You might even put Brock Purdy as the emergency court. I don't know. Maybe you do elevate Mordecai. You just, we'll have to see. We don't know. And so like this week's rough. Because, like, betting-wise and all that stuff, I can't do a lot because I don't know. If Brock Purdy doesn't go, that changes everything. Changes everything. If Nick Bosa doesn't go, changes everything. Changes everything. So, yeah. Dude, shout out to the Newt. Hey, that's how we got Bosa. Jimmy got hurt. We lost a ton of games, and we got Nick Bosa. There you go. There you go. That's where it goes. That's where it goes. And, yeah, Newt. Just think Brandon Allen is boring to watch to me. He sure as hell is. He is dink and dunk. That's just who he is. Would love to see Dobbs if the game is out of hand. Yeah, I think we'll probably see both. I'm just saying. Look at this. John is well worth a 0.30 show. Best value ever. I'll take it, man. You are the best. What's up, Joel? So glad to see you, man. Hope you and the fam are doing great after the move. RTP, my man. Look at that, 1267. What's up, JC? He knows the numbers. That's what's up. We've been doing this show for a little bit. So, Chris, who's starting? I think Brock. But if not Brock, it's going to be Brandon Allen, not the Pasternak guy. Jaredog, huge positive. Chapman getting us through rough times till we celebrate the good ones. There we go. That's what we do. We just getting through on this one. Right here, Jorge, no tailgate for this game? No. The wife gets vetoes every year. Like last year, we did like every single game. I think I missed one. It was too much. I mean, it was stressful, man. It was rough on the family. It was rough on me, whatever else. So the wife got a couple vetoes this year. And so she vetoed the Green Bay Packers and she vetoed the Miami game for Christmas and then Thanksgiving. We are doing Buffalo. And Buffalo is freaking looking promising. The people are coming out. It's going to be a blast. Here's the day before. We're going to be out at the Rec Room the 30th from 2 to 6 p.m. at the Rec Room in Buffalo. Going to be an absolute blast. Get your tickets, 49ersrushroadtrip.com. We do have to rent out the venue, so that does cost money. We are not the 49ers, but the 49ers Invasion is close. You can go to the Invasion, then you can pop over with us. We always offset our time period so we don't conflict with other Niner chapters as best we can. And then we got our tailgate. Tailgate's going to be off the hook. It's one of the bigger tailgates we've ever done. It's a split Buffalo / 49ers tailgate. It's going to be gigantic. One block northwest of the stadium, 3880 Abbott Road. You do have to buy your tickets beforehand. Okay. We are hosting the event, but it is being run by the Buffalo fans. Unlimited drinks, food, beer, premium. This is a top shelf of top shelf tailgate. Get your tickets, 49ersrushroadtrip.com. Get your tickets, man. Come party with us. Going to be incredible. Dress warm. I bought my hand warmers. I brought my foot warmers. I brought some extra, the flannel underneath, all that stuff. Yeah, we're going to stay warm. That's what we're going to do. Jared Dog, talk about Danny Dimes. Hear me out, faithful. I personally, so Daniel Jones gets cut. Okay. He's released. He has to clear waivers. Nobody's going to claim him on waivers because if you do, you owe him like $14 million this year. That contract was stupid to start. Then after he clears waivers, he'll be able to sign with whoever the hell he wants. If I'm the 49ers, I say yes. Now, here's why. You bring him in. I mean, you can just put him on the practice squad. Whatever. Like, you say, look, dude, we're going to rebuild your reputation. You're not going to play for us. We're going to rebuild it. Maybe he wants to play, and if so, he goes to Dallas Cowboys, has a chance there. Wouldn't that be funny if he goes and starts for the Cowboys? But whatever. The reason why I want the 49ers to sign him is because if he is on our roster for the rest of the year, Daniel Jones, and then goes and joins another team, we get compensation pick formula for him. You can get him for pennies because he's already getting paid by the Giants. You can literally get him on a minimum deal, come be on our team, learn, just sit, be the number three quarterback, and just chill. You get that compensation pick formula for him. I'm totally cool with that, especially with Brock Purdy's injury. Not that I want Danny Dimes to play over Josh Dobbs or Brennan Allen or any. No, that's not what it is. It's just, look, dude, come here, learn, sit, absorb, go get signed somewhere for $5 million next year. We get an extra sixth-round pick. You're basically buying a sixth or seventh-round pick. That's the idea. So throw that out there. And again, just to put some history behind this, when C.J. Beathard, who we drafted in the third round, wasn't great, signed with the Jacksonville Jaguars, we got a seventh-round comp pick. You know who that seventh-round compensation pick turned into? Brock Purdy. There you go. That's why I would be open to it. Not that it's like a must or you get into a bidding war for them, but yeah, you call the agent, hey, do you want to build your reputation for next year? Come chill with the 49ers. We'll teach you how to do it. So like, that's why I am. Not because I want him to play or whatever. That's not what it is. Look at Sid. She says the wifey veto. Yeah, she hit the veto on me and I don't complain. She lets me enjoy my life. And that's what it is right here. Dave, the Sam Darnold plan. That's right, man. Sam Darnold 2.0. Rehab his career. Get it there. Right here. Isn't a comp pick you have to be on the team for 8 games? No, not necessarily. Tom Pelissero and a couple other people already tweeted it out. Yeah, he has to be on the roster. But so practice squad wouldn't work. You'd have to give up. Dude, Ronnie Bell, Jake Tonjes. We don't play them anyway. Yeah, let's do that. Let's do that. Super chat. Thank you, Slick. Appreciate it. Bold prediction. 49ers won't lose another game this year. Uncle Sherm calling out the team. We'll fire them up. Stay strong, faithful. Ooh, Slick coming in hot. Even using the fire emoji. I felt it. It was warm. Whew. Are the 49ers a good enough team to run the table? Yes. Yes, they are. Crazier things have happened. Do I expect the 49ers to run the table? I do not. I think that Buffalo game is going to be, man, you win that Buffalo game, which is the least important game left on the schedule, but you win that Buffalo game. Whew. But you got to take care of the Packers first. Man, I hope you're right, Slick. Gosh, you get into the dance, crazy things happen. And you win out, you are hosting a playoff game. The 49ers win out, they win the NFC West, period. Period. You win the next 7 games, you go 12-5, which was my prediction at the start of the season. Yeah, you 100%. Win the division. What's up, Phil? Glad you're here, man. Right here, Tommy. Kyle will finally get Mac Jones next year. Players are fighting to come here. You look what happened to Sam Darnold, Nick Mullins. Like, Shanahan has made so many quarterbacks' careers. Look at the contract that he got for freaking Jimmy Garoppolo. Like, come on, man. Let's go. Right here, Jared Dog. Does Sherm want to coach? I would love Sherm to coach. Oh, my gosh. I would love Richard Sherman to coach, but he's making money, enjoying his life, doing what I'm doing, just better. Like, it's hard to go. People don't understand what coaching is time-wise. It's 80 hours a week, man. And that's why I had to get out. I had a bed in my office. I literally slept in my office twice a week, all season long. I was coaching high school ball, which was stupid. That was stupid. Not coaching ball, but like, the coaching lifestyle is bananas. The recording lifestyle, the analyst lifestyle, dude, that's chill. It's a big difference. But if Sherman wanted to coach, yes. Sign me up. 100%. That dude, he knows ball, man. He always has known ball. That's what it is. Let's see here. Sherm's got it easy. White grind. There you go. That's what I'm thinking too. Yeah, here we go. Got to root for Seattle this week. Yeah, I think so. I think so. Coaching takes up all your time. You get it all, man. And Invader, you got to have a passion, work ethic with a supportive family to coach. That is it. You get that trifecta, coaching's where it's at. And like, if that's your passion and where it is, it's just, man, that's hard to sustain. And I know other people have harder jobs. I'm not sitting here saying, but it's just difficult. A lot of coaches that I grew up with, like divorces, you know, whatever else, because you ain't home for 4 months. You're not home. At Thanksgiving, you coach a football in the state of Texas, you tell your family Thanksgiving ain't for us. We're practicing all week. We got games all week. If you're in the playoffs, if you're on a good team, which we were all the time. So like Thanksgiving just was non-existent. It was just non-existent. For all the years I coached, it's Thanksgiving. Sorry, babe, not going to be home. I might be able to get a dinner. Or I might be able to get a breakfast, but probably not going to be both. That's just what it was. Like that's hard. And not everybody wants to sign up for that. And I understand it's a lot. It is a lot. Now, here's what I will say. The 49ers spread is changing. It was down to 1.5 point on my bookie where first time 49ers not favored. 49ers are getting points. Now it's up to 3 points since the MRI news and whatever else of Brock Purdy and all that stuff. It's up to 3 points. We're getting 3 points. I think it's going to keep going. So if you do bet at any point this week or any point this year, here's where you got to do it.
You know football. You watch all the games. You know what's going to happen before it actually does. So why don't you put your knowledge to the test over at MyBookie, where you can bet on everything. Go to mybookie.ag, use promo code 49ERS, 49ers, or scan this QR code next to me, and they're going to match your initial deposit. Put in 50, you get 50. Put in 100, you get 100, all the way up to $1,000. Plus, you can bet everywhere. California, Texas, doesn't matter. I've been in California for years. I've used it for 6 straight years. Easy to get money in, easy to get money out, trusted source, and you can bet on anything you want. You want to bet on politics, any sport, you name it. They've got the casino if that's your thing. You name it, MyBookie is there for you. Now, make sure you use promo code 49ERS to get that double deposit and MyBookie. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie.
Shout out to Jared Dog. Appreciate the super sticker. You are incredible. And look at Steve-O. Tell a friend to be a friend and sub a friend. You know Niners faithful. Look, how do I say it? Like, again, it's been a rough year for me. I ain't going to lie. Changes at home. Like, it's rough. It affects everything. And when you're having a hard time with things, it bleeds over to all other things. It's hard to be positive when home's hard. That's just the facts of life. And home's awesome. Love family. Everything's good on the Chapman Hart household. It's just homeschooling. That ain't for me. But yeah, man, you know somebody out there that's looking, that's a 49ers fan and is tired of all the negativity and tired of all that stuff. Tell them, check us out. 49ers Rush. Look at Lee. Said, if you're married to Connie Britton, like Coach Taylor, there it is. Clear eyes, full hearts, can't lose. That's right, man. Love that show. I really do love that show. Right here, Steve-O, why did the money line go from plus 60 to plus 140 with a bigger spread? Should be over 160. Seems fishy. That's based on the cash and money where the tickets are. So the spread is ever evolving. And yeah, the money line will too, but the money line is almost always reflective of where the cash tickets are coming in. And so they're going to balance their books. The money line's usually the number one place they do that. The spread is all about the next bet. Money line is about equaling out, I think, for the house, without getting too much into that. Now, but yeah, it's fishy. That's going to change. I do think that will change. Now let's talk. Let's go offensive MVPs. We'll do defense next. Who has been? So here's the criteria that I want to talk through this. And obviously, we're not giving out an award, but I think this is a positive discussion. And I think there's a lot of positives going on. You know, on Twitter, I could only do 4. So the names I did were Juwan Jennings, George Kittle, Dominique Pooney, Brock Purdy. But a lot of people in a lot of comments said Jordan Mason should have been involved. Obviously, not even a part of the offense anymore. 2 snaps a game. Whatever. So like that kind of removes him. But Jordan Mason did such a damn good job when we needed him most. dude was leading the NFL in rushing and giving the 49ers so many great chances moving forward. Led the NFL in missed tackles, forced, broken tackles. He was killing it. And then we just kind of, he got injured and we just literally chunked him to the side, which it sucks. I don't like that. But I do want the positive of Jordan Mason being an absolute stud. Remember, he was the number three coming into training camp. Elijah Mitchell got hurt. CMC got hurt. Dude balled out. All training camp balled out. Preseason balled out. First six games of the season balled out. Then he got injured. Then it changed. And Brock Purdy, I don't really consider in the MVP race. I don't think he's been playing that great. I think he's played well. You look from PFF standpoint, he's the 10th highest rated quarterback. Solid. But it's not the Brock Purdy we've seen. I'm not saying we shouldn't keep him. I'm not saying we shouldn't sign him. I'm saying Brock Purdy is not playing Brock Purdy football. He's tough as hell. He leaves it all on the line. He's changed it with his feet and is rushing a lot. How many rush yards does Brock Purdy have? I didn't put this in my notes. Brock Purdy has 267 rush yards and 4 rushing touchdowns. That's pretty badass. That dude's a beast. I freaking love that, man. I did not know that. I want to look this up. This is something I'm curious. We're doing this live on air. I know it's not the best, whatever, but I want to look at the rushing report. It ain't going to let me do rushing on here, you turds. Anyway, I don't know how to look this up as fast as whatever. We can go there. I wonder if I could do all the positions, not non-running backs. Here we go. So if we just look at rush yards, where is he at? Man, he's pretty high. So he's 10th quarterback rush yards at 267, just behind Justin Fields and Anthony Richardson. 4 touchdowns, pretty freaking awesome. Third best, fourth best. Taysom Hill has more. But, man, he's been great running the ball. I thought it would have been a little higher than that, to be honest with you. But Brock Purdy, let's look at his stats. 10th ranked quarterback from PFF. 13 touchdowns. 8 interceptions, that's not good. Even with the 4 passing touchdowns, you're barely at a 2-to-1 ratio. Like, that's not MVP-type numbers. 66 completion percentage, not great. 2,600 yards, solid. 20 sacks, not good. And a lot of those sacks are on him. And I know that's not really what people want to hear, but let's see here. I want to pull this up. And again, PFF is just the launching point. They are not the Bible or any of those things. But whenever we look at the sacks, he's taken 20 sacks. Only 4 sacks have been attributed to pass blockers. Only 4 from PFF. That means 16 sacks are because of Brock Purdy holding the ball so long. And that, I mean, he leads the NFL in time to throw. Or last in the NFL time, because he just holds the ball forever. Now, he makes a lot of plays and he does a lot of all that stuff. But like the Brock Purdy we saw the last 2 years, not it. He's got 1 fourth quarter comeback. He's got 1 game-winning drive, 6 fumbles. Ah, it's a lot of turnovers, man. So for me, Brock Purdy should be involved in the conversation. He's great. I hope he's quarterback for the next 10-plus years. But it just ain't been there. It just ain't there. Steve-O, Purdy's usually a lock for 8 rush yards. The very first game of the NFL season, the over-under for Brock Purdy rush yards, I think, was 5.5 yards. We took it. It's up now to like 19.5 yards, but that's what it is. Right here, sacks are typically on the quarterback and pressures on the offensive line. Well said, Invader. He knows football. Dave, it's a conspiracy. Brock isn't running the same offense because the Niners don't want to pay him $60 million a year. I know Dave, and I know that's 100% sarcastic. He's even got the LOL. If somebody is saying that out there, I don't like saying stop listening to them. I don't believe in that. Like, I hope everybody is successful. But, like, you listen to them for entertainment, right? Don't listen to them to learn football or to understand the 49ers. Listen to them for entertainment. It's a fun science fiction whatever. Nobody believes that. Like, nobody. Anyway, you don't. Non-football people say non-football things. Not because some people just don't know, man. Like, if you've ever been in a locker room or around, you would do anything to win every single damn play. Every single damn play. Every single damn play. There's no way you're sandbagging a championship-worthy team to save on contract dollars down. That's not in the head of anybody. Ever. Ever. Steven, do you think Brock's aggression to aggravation of his arm is due to the amount of deep balls this year? I don't think so. Now, excuse me. I mean, the elbow was the issue, right? And reconstructive surgery, whatever you want to call that. He took some hard hits. And he's taking hard hits because he doesn't get down fast enough. The big hit he took was on 2nd and 22, and I think he got a 4-yard gain. Wasn't even close. And the passes were there. So I don't think the shoulder, I think that's the hits he's taken. Now, 100% conjecture upon my part. Like, if his shoulder is hurting because he's throwing deep so much, dude, check the ball down more, right? So I don't think so. But again, this is not, I'm not talking to Brock Purdy. I haven't seen the MRI. I'm not talking to the coaching staff. I'm just saying what I saw on film, where he took several big hits to the throwing shoulder, running for yards that were unnecessary. That's just me. Right here, Sonia. Man, I hate that Brock didn't ball out like I know he can. Brock can't do anything without his Avengers. That stupid quote. Would be nice to shut them up. Yeah, Brock was balling the first 3 to 4 weeks. But that's what it is. Right here, Jadar. Can't even say Purdy is pressing for a big contract. All he got to do is what he did the first 25 games. He's changed it up a lot. He's changed it up a lot. I think it comes down to three players for the offensive MVP, and I'll show you a poll that I put up on Twitter earlier. I think it comes down to Dominic Pooney, George Kittle, Juwan Jennings. And I think all three, the case could be made. Now, let me just show you. Here's the poll, okay? So I put this up to 600-plus votes. It's still going strong. I put four people on there, Kittle, Jennings, Purdy, Pooney. Juwan Jennings won, and that would be my vote, 54% of the vote. George Kittle, 27.2. Dominic Pooney, 10. Purdy, 8. Okay, I'll put this back up there in a second. Now, let me make the case for why I think Dominic Pooney could be considered in this conversation, okay? Remember, this is a positive show. You want your comments showing today positive. Rest of time negative. We did too much emphasis on negative, and I know we're going against human psychology here and every single YouTube tutorial that's ever been made on how to grow your channel. I ain't here for that. That's not what we are. I don't care about growing. I care about being with you guys and being real. So today, positive show. Negative stuff, we're deflecting today. Bring that back tomorrow. Dominic Pooney, the things that set him apart above everybody else, he's played in every single game. Juwan Jennings, 8 games. George Kittle, 8 games. Dominic Pooney, 10. Brock Purdy, 10 till this week. On top of that, he's missed one snap. One snap all year. 662 snaps out of 663. Whew. That is freaking fire, man. That is freaking fire. Dominic Pooney, now, PFF-wise, he's the 8th best guard. That's not even close to all-pro, but it's pretty damn good. That's Pro Bowl level. And I think that's about where he's played. Has he been absolutely dominant? No, he hasn't. He really hasn't. Even in this last game, there were several plays where it was like, ooh, that's a bad Dominic Pooney play. There were a lot of those. His grade is 80.8 on the season, but he's so clean, and it's just sky's the limit. And whenever you put in the difficulty factor, right, like you watch like the Olympics, and you know, I'm not a smart man, but I do know what love is. You watch like the Olympics and like, oh, the degree of difficulty was a 10 out of 10. Therefore, the score is higher. Or you do an easy routine or whatever. This dude is difficulty 10 because you got Jake Brindle to your left and Colton McKivitz to your right. How many plays, and again, we go through every single offensive play, not once, not twice, 3 times on all 3 coaching angles, and we see he's blocking 2 guys at a time. because Jake Brindle sucks. He's blocking two guys at a time because Colton McKivitz has those 4 to 5 horrible plays a game. This guy is the young guy stepping in, solidifying bad players. Gosh, man. Dominique Pooney, I don't think he's the MVP, but he sure as hell needs to be involved in the conversation. I agree with kind of the numbers here. He got 10% of the vote. So whenever I took this screenshot, 600 plus votes, he got 10%. So he got 60 out of 600 votes. I think that's fair. And I think it's a testament to how damn good this guy is. This is a guy that you could build around for a long time. Especially when the offensive line has just been so freaking terrible. Dave, O-line gets no love. Now, has Dominique Pooney been better than Trent Williams, who I did not include in this poll? No. Trent Williams has been better. Trent Williams has been better consistently. He's got a higher pass blocking grade. He's got a higher run blocking grade. He's got a lot more penalties. Ah, 5 penalties. 1 penalty on Dominique Pooney. Just 1. But, oh, man, I freaking love him. Oh, I freaking love him. Appreciate you, man. He says, talk to us, Jod. Steve-O, he says, I called Pooney a Pro Bowler before the season, so I say Kittle with 7 touchdowns. I think that's fair, and I think that's where Dominique Pooney is. I think Pro Bowl level. I don't think he's a guard. I don't think he's all pro yet. I just don't think that he is. I forget the game we watched. What's game? Not the game we watched, but the game we played where it was like, okay, these are some badass interior offensive linemen. I think it was it the Bucks? Yeah, I think it was the Bucks where it was just like, man, these are good guards. These are great guards.
I am so excited to announce our new platform launch, the49ersrush.com. We've been active on Patreon for years, and we're still going to keep that community going, but the49ersrush.com has everything Patreon offers and a bunch more. You want to watch player breakdowns? Guess what? You click that. It's filtered based on players. You want to see Javon Hargrave, what he brings, some CMC tape broken down, Ayuk, Jair Brown. We've got hundreds and hundreds of tapes on. Now, you want football 101. You want to learn scheme? Guess what? We've got every single offensive, defensive, special team snap. Head over to the49ersrush.com, sign up, join the community, and plus we got a 7-day free trial. So,
Invader, Pooney was a great pick. Sua Matia, not so much. Yeah. Yeah, that was, he got benched. It's bad. Jared Dog, I'm not moving Dominique Pooney, especially as a young player. You've got somebody that is excelling on a terrible offensive line. Yes, I do think we have a terrible offensive line. I do. I think we have 2 good players. I think we have 3 terrible players. Banks can be good when he's healthy. He's just never healthy. McKivitz, good run blocker. That's it. And then Jake Brindle, the worst center in the NFL to have a job. I do believe that. I think he's a backup center, but definitely not a starting center. I'm not moving a stud player that's young. I'm not. I'm keeping him right there. I'm just keeping him right there. Joel, did Feliciano get activated yet? Yeah, I'm looking at my clock nonstop. We got 3 good offensive linemen. Just remember how important it was when John Feliciano went down in the Super Bowl. Game changed. Game changed. Put Feliciano at center. Dear God. I'm not one of those, oh, you know more than Chris Forster and Kyle Shanahan. Like, I get that all the time. I'm sorry. In this effort, it can't be worse. In this one thing, I was right about Sam O. I've been right about some things. Like, it's not like I'm opposed to them. I love Chris Forster. And I love Kyle Shanahan. I love Chris Forster behind the mic. I love that dude talking. He's great. But they are blinded by certain players. Ronnie Bell, Jake Brindle, blinded Jordan Elliott, Devondre Campbell, blinded. Whew, man. Tommy, how high will we draft a left guard to replace Banks? Yeah, probably 3rd, 4th round. Now, the good news is we got 11 picks next year. That's huge. You look at the picks. We got a 1st-rounder. We got a 2nd-rounder. We have 2 3rd-rounders. We have 2 4th-rounders, a 5th, a 6th, and 3 7ths. We have 11 picks. You've got draft capital. And man, the University of Texas, I know I'm biased at Longhorn. Dude, there's like four draftable offensive linemen that fit our scheme under Sark that like you plug and play with a lot of experience. We got the inside track there because Shanahan's always working with Texas in the offseason. He's an alum there, all that stuff. Oof, oof, oof. I know it's early, but man, if you get Banks, that left tackle from Texas, good Lord. Whew. Invader. Zach Frazier got his lunch money taken last night. Zach Frazier has been better than Dominique Pooney has been this year. Not last night he wasn't. That's no game. They got him. You are correctamundo. But man, I love me some Zach Frazier. If we had Zach Frazier on this team, we'd be 7-3 at worst. But that's okay. That's okay. Yeah. Jason, thank you. John was 100% about Frazier. I love me some Frazier. He did not have the best game last night, but whatever. All right. Oh, right here, Jason. Rockwall versus DeVille tonight, John. Second round of playoffs. Dude, that ain't even going to be a game. Rockwall's pretty good. They beat us. Was it Rockwall? Marquise Goodwin. Man, was that the Marquise Goodwin game? I was coaching at Duncanville. Let me see here. I think it was Rockwall. Let me see here because I got a good story about this. Marquise Goodwin, who is Rowlett. There we go. Dyslexia strikes again. Right next to Rockwall. We're playing Rowlett High School. And, man, we were up, I think, 10 points in the fourth quarter. And they had Marquise Goodwin, who, you know, went to Texas on a full-track scholarship, competed in the Olympics, was with the 49ers for a long time, one of the fastest players in the NFL. Just unbelievable dude. And we're doubling, bracketing. We're banjo. We're doing everything we can. And the last two drives, just moonballs. And Mark, we couldn't stop them. And I mean, just mossing people, scored two touchdowns to win. It wasn't a playoff game, I don't think. I think it was like week two that year. But like, anyway, Duncanville played Rockwell, defending back-to-back state champs, Texas 6A, the big school district. Let's keep it rolling, baby. DeVille don't play. Go Panthers. Go Panthers. Anyway, sorry. You got me flexing over here. There we go. Jason, there we go. The North Forney, baby. I love North Forney. That's awesome. That school's grown. Best of luck to you, man. The Hatchie. I got some good friends coaching on the other side of you, man. Yeah, best of luck to you guys. Best of luck to you guys. Now, that's where we were. Now let's talk George Kittle. I freaking love George Kittle. I freaking love George Kittle. We saw how big it was when George Kittle wasn't out. Now, he's only played 8 games. He's missed 2. He got 27% of the vote. He's the number one rated tight end in the NFL. Like, almost a guaranteed lock to be All-Pro. Like, almost a guaranteed. And there's only one tight end first-team All-Pro. Like, there's 3 wide receivers. There is one tight end first-team All-Pro. Just one. And George Kittle's like a lock. Like a lock right now. If he gets injured, misses more time, that could hurt him. But, golly, number one PFS score, 90.0. That's All-Pro level. 53 targets. He's got 34 receptions, 560 yards on pace for 1,000, 7 touchdowns, 27 first downs, and 81.1 catch rate. Think about the catches that we've seen George Kittle make. Unreal catches. Shout out to Brock for putting him in the position. But, like, good Lord. And here's the craziest thing. All right. I got to go to my source over here to back this up. George Kittle isn't out there running routes all the freaking time. The 49ers have run 391 pass plays this year. 391. George Kittle, who's missed 2 games, has 39 pass blocking snaps. That's 10%. So not only has he missed 2 out of 10 games, that's 80%. He's missed another 10% because he's pass blocking. He's only running routes on 70% of pass plays this year because of injuries. And because of him and just how important it is to block against these all-out blitzes that every team does against us. Yet he still leads the NFL in touchdown receptions for tight ends. I don't know if he's at the top of yards. I don't got time to sort all that. And then what he does in the run game. Gosh, he's so freaking good in the run game. 2 penalties. That's a killer. But man, George Kittle. Whew, man, most touchdowns on the 49ers. That's what's up. Shout out Sonia. Yeah, nailed it. Nailed it. All branded. Yeah. RIP Mac Dre. Do it Sunday for the Bay. Man, you know, I didn't grow up in California. I was a Texas boy. Southern rap was kind of my jam. You know, is what it is. YMCMB, all that fun stuff. But, man, Mac Dre was, yeah, heavy rotation from a young age. RIP, man. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. But that's what it is. Now, so that's the George Kittle conversation. Now, Dave, recency bias, but put Juwan Jennings over Kittle. Kittle's value was really shown last week whenever he didn't play. And, you know, again, going back to the poll, Juwan Jennings got over 50% of the vote. This is a guy that put the team first, got his extension done, cheap, team-friendly deal, got a little extra cash in his pocket, never complained about a damn thing. He was cut his rookie year. Dude was cut. Came back, fought his way onto the team, found a niche role. Most physical player we got on offense. Ah, him and Kittle. No longer Trent Williams. Trent Williams seemed to have lost that part of his game where he's just killing dudes. Juwan Jennings, the most physical player on the team when Dre Greenlaw is not playing. He goes, Dre Greenlaw, Juwan Jennings, George Kittle. Like, those are your three. Those are your three, right? Fifth highest grade from Pro Football Focus for all wide receivers. Like, I keep saying, I was saying all training camp, Juwan Jennings is your number one. Juwan Jennings is number one, not Brandon Ayuk. Juwan Jennings is your guy. He should be the guy. Should have traded that dude. Anyway, I'm glad we got him. Juwan Jennings is the guy. Moved him to X. He's played slot his whole career. You moved him to X. He's slow as anything. He's faster than me. What, he run like a 4.79? I quoted this the other day, and I think I misspoke. So let me go to Juwan Jennings' workout. Yeah, 4.72, okay? Not fast. That is not a number one wide receiver. 4.72? That's bottom 2% of NFL wide receivers. Bottom 2%. That's low. That's low. But signs his deal. Ayuk, whatever. Steps in, fulfills the role, and just completely balled out. Dude was, now he's missed two games. That's the killer. Here we go. Let's just go through the games. Week one, 5 catches, 5 targets, 64 yards. Stellar efficient. Week two, 2 catches on 4 targets. That Minnesota game was not good. The Rams game, which we lost, by the way, one of the greatest wide receiver games in the history of the 49ers. 11 catches on 12 targets. 175 yards, 3 touchdowns. One of the greatest games in 49ers history. And guess what? You have the most storied wide receiver franchise in NFL history. The most storied. You're talking Jerry Rice. You're talking Terrell Owens. You're talking John Taylor. And a bunch more just studs like that you could include in that conversation. One of the greatest games in 49ers wide receiver history. 11 catches, 12 targets, 175 yards, 3 touchdowns. Damn. Next game, 3 catches, 88 yards. Then he got hurt. Missed some time. Comes back, Seattle, 3 catches, 5 targets, 27 yards. Not great. Then Tampa Bay. Ooh, he's back, baby. He's healthy, baby. 7 catches, 11 targets, 93 yards. Then the Seattle game, 10 catches, 11 targets, 91 yards, and a touchdown. Dude was, freaking love this dude, man. He's so freaking good. He's got 30 first downs on 42 catches. Yeah, he's my MVP. He's my MVP. Look at this, Mr. Joe. Hufanga, Banks, Greenlaw, Mooney, all free agents next year. Who do we resign? You got to see if Greenlaw comes back. That's the guy. You got to see if Hufanga comes back. Those are my top two priorities, Mr. Joe. Greenlaw, one. If he comes back, he can play like he did. Hufanga, number two. I'm not bringing back Banks really under any situation. I'm not bringing back Mooney really under any situation. Let him go get paid. Banks might give you a hometown discount. He's an El Cerrito local kid, but he just can't stay healthy, and he's not good. So that's going to be a cheap, 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 cheap deal. I would like to keep Banks, but I'm talking like, dude, you're getting like $4 million a year tops. He deserves more than that. He'll get paid. Guards are getting paid now. So, like, here's what it would be like, and it's all off the cuff without doing research. Banks, you can come back and make $4 million a year here, or you can go elsewhere and make $8 million a year. What do you want to do? Dude, you take the $8 million. And I want him to get paid. Family's incredible. He's been so generous. You know, my son, before he was homeschooled, was at El Cerrito and did a lot for the football team. Like, I am an Aaron Banks fan. Just when he's not healthy and 100%, he's not good. He's just not good. And he hasn't been healthy. He's tough as hell. Give him credit for being a warrior. Yeah. Oh, I love this, man. We're doing Freddie Solomon in here. We're doing some J.J. Stokes. Ah. Yeah, Invader, they can't let Greenlaw leave. The only way you let Greenlaw leave, shoot, you got D. Winters balling out, and you won't let him play. So, yeah. I'd keep Mooney if he wants to stay for less. We got to see it. This year ain't been it. This year, I love Mooney. And feel so bad for what his family's going through. All right, let's go defensive MVP. We're going long on this show. I don't care. It's a positive show. Let's go long. I ain't got nowhere to be. Uh-oh. I'm getting in trouble over here. That's okay. I mean, it's a positive show. I'm going to turn my phone face down. I'll do all that stuff later. Let's talk defensive MVP. I only put three people's names on there. Should have been four. I was wrong on this. Fred Warner, D'Amador Lenore, Nick Bosa. Should have put Renardo Green on there. I did not include Renardo Green, but should have. He's played well enough to belong in this category, but I didn't put him on there. So here are the results of this one. Fewer people vote on defense. D'Amador Lenore, 51.3%. Fred Warner, 36.4%. Nick Bosa, 12.4%. And it's funny because let's start with Nick Bosa. Who would you guys say? D'Amador Lenore, Fred Warner, Nick Bosa. Who would you give it to? Nick Bosa plays the most valuable position, makes more than almost everybody else combined. He's been great. He's been really good. Seven sacks, one forced fumble, had the interception, 10 tackles for loss, 17 quarterback hits. But here's what's crazy. None of those are even in the top seven. Like, he's been consistently good. He's a damn good player. PFF has him as a 90.3 grade. That's top five. That's the fifth highest rated edge player. And I think that's about where he is. Now, if you watched the game last night, that's the problem. Nick Bosa is compared against T.J. Watt and Myles Garrett, and I don't think that's fair. He's paid higher than them, but those two players are way better. And that's not an insult. Like, Myles Garrett, North Texas dude, is unreal. Unreal. Three-sack game. Primetime. Snow weather. Does what it takes. T.J. Watt, I might take T.J. Watt over all of them. But you got those two guys, and we're paying him according to those two because he got paid after the Defensive Player of the Year award. Well-deserved. And, like, you're kind of getting your money out of Bosa. But still, he's not top seven in sacks or TFLs or quarterback hits. And a lot of it, too, is our defensive scheme is not friendly or conducive to Nick Bosa. We play light boxes. We only bring four. He's getting double teamed, triple teamed. He got quadruple teamed on one play last week. It still made the damn tackle. Like, if you pick up Nick Bosa and put him in Myles Garrett's role, his numbers would increase. If you pick up Nick Bosa and put him in TJ Watt's role, that's not that 3-4 outside backer. Not really his thing. Now you put Myles Garrett in Nick Bosa's role, I think Garrett's numbers go down a tick, but I would take Myles Garrett over Nick Bosa. Walter Payton, man of the year. Bosa ain't ever. Sorry. Maybe he'll win that. Maybe he'll start doing stuff. But Myles Garrett's like for real. I think he's the best. And I think he's awesome off the field, all those things. But like, is it Nick Bosa's fault that he gets compared against those two guys? Like, you go back to, was it Drew Brees? I think it was. Like, you go see some of these quarterbacks. Let's see here. Drew Brees had one all pro his whole career. Like, Drew Brees, I think, is like a top 10 quarterback at least. Dude had one all-pro. Well, his whole career, Peyton Manning and Tom Brady were playing, right? Like, that's kind of how I see Nick Bosa. I think Nick Bosa is a top 5 defensive player in the NFL year in, year out. Like, this is not a Nick Bosa hate, whatever. But you ain't T.J. Watt and you ain't Myles Garrett. Just like Drew Brees isn't Tom Brady or, you know, Peyton Manning. Like, nobody would say that. Like, if you have those three choices, you're taking Drew Brees last. You gave every NFL team, okay, T.J. Watt in his prime, Myles Garrett in his prime, Nick Bosa in his prime. Everybody's taking T.J. Everybody's taking Miles, right? Like, am I off on this? Like, again, I'm just trying to judge room. I understand we're all 49ers fan. This is not Nick Bosa hate. This is just, yeah. I mean, the dude wasn't even second team all pro last year. You know what I mean? And so, right here, Steve-O, and this is fair. I lost respect for Miles swinging the helmet. That could have ended bad. Yeah, that major flags. But don't allow that one thing discount the Walter Payton Man of the Year and what that dude does off the field. Because what he does off the field is unbelievable. Unbelievable. Brandon, 49ers got Garrett. It would be like back in the day when they had Haley and Green. Yeah. Oof, man, I freaking love it. Let's see here. Dave says, Bosa, value same as Kittle. See the value when he's not there, as Geno. Yeah, it changed. It changed. Jeer Dog, word is nobody take care of their body more than Bosa, but rarely 100%. He's banged up a lot. Yeah, there's no doubt about that. Right here, Mr. Joe says, Watt, Garrett, Crosby, Bosa. I don't have a problem with that. I think Bosa and Crosby are similar. They're closer in the same tier. I think Watt and Garrett are in their tier. I think Crosby and Bosa are in their tier. Right here, this mini, if Bosa got calls, he would be up there. That's fair. He does not get the calls. Niners never get the calls. Watt and Garrett get holding calls. Bosa doesn't. Good. Sticking with it. Right here, Crosby better than Bosa. The energy level, the amount of plays he plays, his availability, I'm cool with that. I wonder, they were drafted the same year. Let's see here. Let's do this. I want to look up. Let's look up their careers collectively because I think this is a fun discussion. And I know we're long, and I apologize, but sometimes these things are important. I freaking love this stuff. Let's see here. Sack wise in that draft. So Nick Bosa has 60 and a half sacks. Max Crosby 58 and a half. So he's up 2. You look at games played, dude. Crosby has played. Is that right? 14 more games? That's right. Bosa got hurt. So on a per-game basis, this ain't even close. Like, look at that. Sack numbers aren't everything. But Bosa's played in 14 less games, essentially a season less, and has more sacks. He's got 4 to 3 Pro Bowls. He's got 1 Defensive Player of the Year. So, no, Nick Bosa's better. Now, you could argue Max Crosby's more durable. I'm cool with that. But I disagree. Nick Bosa is the better player. Not saying Crosby ain't great. Crosby's great. I freaking love Crosby. Yeah, he's so good. Invader, we're fortunate to have a top 5 defensive end. Thank you, Arizona. Yeah, for real. Sony, if I'm playing top dollar to Bosa, I want to see top tier results. Constant hell on every game. Yeah, we're not getting there. We're just not getting there. It's just not there. Oh, Mr. Joe, thank you, man. Great show today, John. When you disagree with somebody and they still say great show, one of my favorite things is disagreeing with people and having constructive conversations. I hate how we've turned into, if we disagree, we hate each other, and social media always goes that way. But Mr. Joe, I really appreciate you, man. Unreal. You might be the MVP of comments today, my friend. Wonderful job. Right here, Chad. He says, Watt and Garrett, then Bosa in his own tier, then Crosby. I think that's fair. Right here, Steve-O, they don't count playoff numbers, though. Ooh, that's true. Playoff numbers, Bosa's been incredible. You go back to Bosa's rookie year, that 2019 season, might have been the best defensive performance edge player for those 3 playoff games. Oh, my gosh. Whew. Man. Right here, Mr. Joe. Dude, Crosby's got, he's playing next to freaking Christian Wilkins. Nah, dude. I would take, if you moved Bosa and Crosby out of the equation, I'd take it. The Raiders' defensive line over ours. I don't even think it's close. Sam O makes me hesitate a little bit. Now, let's go back to the last two. Let's talk Demo and Fred Warner. I think it should be Fred Warner, personally. First half of the season, you guys said Fred Warner 36%. Not saying you guys. I know y'all didn't vote, but you can go vote. It's still open at JL_Chapman on Twitter. Just scroll down a little bit. Fred Warner, the first half of the season, I think was defensive player of the year. Got injured. The ankle hasn't been the same since. He's playing through it. Fred Warner's never missed a game. Never missed a game. And the last 3 games have been disappointing. Disappeared in big moments. That's not who he is. But, good Lord, 78 tackles, 4 forced fumbles, best in the NFL. 2 interceptions, including a pick 6. 3 tackle for loss, 1 sack, 2 quarterback hits. He's the highest rated PFF player at the linebacker position, 91.1. That's my MVP. You can disagree? That's cool. I don't have a problem with that. You look at D'Amador Lenore, dude's been stellar. PFF hates him. He's the 52nd ranked corner, which is so weird. He's got 66 grade. I do not understand where that's coming from. By far the most consistent all year. Couple big missed tackles this past week. I just did all the defensive breakdown tape this morning. Not his best game. Not his worst game. Still played great. Major missed tackles that gave up huge outside runs. Sorensen puts him in a lot of bad. That's why the PFS score is. Every time a team goes bunch trips and we put him in man coverage and he gets a double pick across the field, Nick Sorensen, good Lord, you are ruining this dude. But 61 tackles, that's a lot. Two interceptions, one forced fumble, one tackle for loss. So for me, it goes Warner. I think I'd go Warner, Bosa, Demo. That's what I would do. So I'm off from what the voting was, and that's okay. Y'all had Demo, Warner, Bosa. I'd go Warner, Bosa, Demo. But Demo might be my favorite player, right? Oh, man, it might be my favorite player. Jason, he says, hope 49ers play in Dallas next year. I don't think they do. They do play in Houston. You want to make a drive down, bro, depending on when that is. We are 100% going to be in Houston. 100%. Right here, how the Blue Hell Niner faithful forget Dwight Clark? Don't forget Dwight Clark. Obviously, he's one of the all-time greats, but like statistically, you don't put him up there too high. But yeah, Clark was unbelievable. Wide receiver. Yeah, dude. Yes, Dwight Clark's unbelievable. I have a Dwight Clark hat. I have a Dwight Clark shirt. I love Dwight Clark. I don't consider him up there statistics-wise with a lot of those guys, but, you know, but that's fine. That's fine. Obviously, the huge catch in the playoffs, all those things. Dwight Clark's amazing. Freaking amazing. But it's what it is. So hopefully you guys enjoyed this show. Join us Tuesday. We've got our Jerry Rice tier Zoom hangout meeting. It's going to be 5:30. And then if you're going to Buffalo, make sure you go to 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. Get your tickets. Those prices only go up. This is an expensive one. We had to pay a lot of money to set up these parties. So help us out there. And if you know anybody else that's going to these trips, man, tell them come party with us. Spread the word, faithful. Love you guys. This is a fun episode. I think we got to do like one positive show a week, especially in these dark times. They're not doom and gloom. They're not doom and gloom. They're not doom and gloom. Anyway, y'all are the best. Appreciate y'all. Until next time.
Heads up, folks. Interest rates are falling. But as of September 23rd, 2024, you can still lock in a 6% or higher yield with a bond account at public.com. That's a pretty big deal. Because when rates drop, so can the interest you earn on your cash. A bond account allows you to lock in a 6% or higher yield with a diversified portfolio of high yield and investment grade corporate bonds. So while other people are watching their returns shrink, you can sit back with regular interest payments. But you might want to act fast because your yield is not locked in until you invest. The good news? It only takes a couple of minutes to sign up at public.com. Lock in a 6% or higher yield with a bond account, only at public.com. Brought to you by Public Investing, member FINRA and SIPC. Yield to worst is not guaranteed, not an investment recommendation. All investing involves risk. Visit public.com/disclosures for more info.
How do you feel when you switch to GEICO and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with GEICO feels just like that. Get more with GEICO. How do you feel when you switch to GEICO and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with GEICO feels just like that. Get more with GEICO.